In Galatians chapter 5, we continue our study here. We're going to be reading just verses 22, 23, 24, and 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, Father, we bow before you to thank you for your word. And we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what we have learned as we have studied through this particular book. And we ask now again, as we've prayed already before, please, Lord, use your word to instruct us that we might be all that you would have us to be, not only as a church, but certainly each of us individually. So for the blessings that you have promised for today, we thank you and ask once again that the Lord Jesus Christ will be honored and glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we've studied through the book here of Galatians, and in particular, this particular passage, our text has clearly described the blessings of walking in, by, and through the person. I want to emphasize the person, not the power. I want to emphasize him, the person of the Holy Spirit. Because in the eternal plan of the Godhead, it was the purpose that the second person of the Holy Trinity would become the visible representation of God, who is a spirit. You remember that when the Lord Jesus met the woman at the well, he explained to her that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, God created us in a material world with a material body. And while we have a spirit of man that's within us, we recognize that. How is God going to relate to us? He is spirit, and we as a temporal, material being. Well, in the counsels of the eternal God, it was not the plan for the Father to come. It was not the plan for the Holy Spirit to come in some visible fashion. It was the plan within the eternal Godhead that the second person of that great, glorious, Holy Trinity would be the one that would take on a body so that we might fully know what God is really like. From the time of the fall of man, the confusion that came to the heart of man has made the human experience to create all kinds of things to worship gods or a god. But we could never fully come to an understanding of who God really was. Jesus of Nazareth proclaimed and proved himself to be both perfect man and perfect God. When Jesus there in John chapter 8 verse 46 challenged those that were his accusers and opposed to him, he said to them, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" Remember? Do you realize what he's asking? He's asking for them, show me the goods. You're saying I'm not who I say that I am? Jesus is essentially saying to them, all right, pull out my skeletons. That's a term we use, right? All of us have skeletons in our closet. We have things of our past. We have things that marked us as sinful. Jesus is saying to them, all right, pull out the skeletons. He didn't have any. Jesus did not have anything. And you want to think about this. From the time of his childhood to 30 years of age, they're silent to us other than that little episode at age 12 when the family went to worship. See, that's the thing about you and I. We have a testimony. There was a time when we evidenced all of our life of sin and rebellion against God, and then when the Lord saved us. Now, we all have our own particular personalities and characters. Some of you are rambunctious and bold and strong in your character, and others are very meek and quiet. Some people are naturally kind and gracious. Other people are just downright ugly and aggravating. But whatever it is, however we expressed ourselves as sinners in this world, when Jesus Christ came into our lives and saved us, he altered us. And we can go back to the people who knew us before we were saved, and we're telling them how the Lord saved us, but you know, they've got it in my mind. Yeah, well, I remember when you were such and such an age, and I remember the things you said that came out of your mouth. I remember the things that you did. But yeah, I'm not that same person. And of course, that's been the need of the church, is to have you and I to have a consistent walk with the Lord, so that our life now truly matches what comes out of our mouth. Jesus said, I do not have any skeletons. You can't pull any of those skeletons out. And if there would have been anybody that could have pulled out a skeleton, it would have been his brothers and his sisters, yes? I mean, you can act good with everybody on the outside, but your brother and your sisters, those within your family, they've got the goods on you. They know all about you. There's things, of course, and even now my children, they will talk about things that they did between the three of them that were disobedient to what the parents told them to do, and now they're coming out and telling us what they did that we didn't know anything about. Yeah. So in other words, they're saying, we've got skeletons. Jesus could say, you don't have any skeletons on me. When we read this passage of Scripture of the fruit of the Spirit, we see the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it was not God the Father that planned to come. It was not the Holy Spirit that was going to be made into a physical image. It would only be the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that would come into this world and fully display. His constant drumbeat was, I'm representing the Father. If you've, what did he say to Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. No skeletons, only the life of the true life of the living God in Christ. When we read this fruit, we're reading the life character of the Lord Jesus. And so when God saves us, the Holy Spirit coming to live within us, he is reproducing. Sharon's dad had a little, well, I don't know if we, I don't even think we still publish it, called Reproductions. If we do, I don't remember. But what we are looking at here is the reproduction of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that when the Lord Jesus, all through those years up to the baptism, he lived by the grace of God, never creating a skeleton in his closet. But then on the day that John baptized him and the Holy Spirit descended on him, the Holy Spirit came on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the scripture says he had the Spirit without measure. While you and I have a measure of faith, his was absolutely full. Our Bible tells us that you and I are to be filled, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus is perfectly reproducing the whole character of God as men were able to observe him. And so when the Holy Spirit comes to live within us and you and I are born of the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit begins to work in us to reproduce what we've just looked at. And it's automatic. Now, we still grow in this. I'm still growing in these graces, aren't you? As a believer, certainly we are. In love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. But that life can't grow until, first of all, it has been given. Like I said, there are plenty of people that are good. There are plenty of people that are kind. There are people that are actually sacrificial. Don't you remember there in Romans chapter 5 where Paul even admits that there would even be some who would lay down their life for another? But the Bible tells us that Jesus laid his life down for us. People have no problem laying their life down for a child, putting their life at risk to save a child, putting their life at risk to save somebody who's good, which is what Paul is emphasizing in Romans chapter 5. But that's not what Jesus did, and you and I know it, because the scripture says that the Lord Jesus laid his life down for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this is all about reproducing in our lives what was in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the nature of the new birth, we have both the desire and the power of the Holy Spirit to reproduce in a limited way. We recognize that. We don't become gods, and we certainly are not perfect. But these character traits, they are of the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And we certainly remember what happened when the apostles, being filled with the Holy Spirit, began to carry about their own ministry. I'll just read to you this statement. Peter stands up before the 70, the Sanhedrin, and he says to them, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, okay, they've heard this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's the key here, isn't it? Somebody gets around you, that's what you want to have reproduced in your life. People get around you and they say, boy, that guy's been with Jesus. Filled with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. None of it to perfection in any of us, but in all of us, growing by God's grace in these gifts. When we began this particular chapter, look back at verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, you and I know we've gone through this. We know that there is the battle between, are we going to be saved? Are we going to walk with God by the power of the law? Or are we going to be saved and walk with God by the power of the Holy Spirit? The whole book of Galatians has been about answering that question. And this chapter began with liberty. The fruit of the Spirit is the glorious unfolding of the liberty which, as described, is holiness. Holiness. Let me just remind you, Peter in his first epistle, just listen as I read. Peter writes and he says in chapter 1 and verse 14, as obedient children, talking to you, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Just what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 about walking in the flesh. He continues in verse 15 and says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, all every aspect of your life, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Peter, what do you mean by that? Peter, what do you mean? When you say, be holy, define that for me. What do you mean? You know, I can just hear Peter say, well, my recommendation is, go back and read that letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians. Galatians, of course, it wasn't divided in chapters and verses at that time. But Peter could have said, you need to walk in the Spirit. If you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when God wants, is saying to us as children, we don't fashion ourselves after this world, but for a life to be holy, the fruit of the Spirit, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the life he lived reflective of the Father, the life we are to live reflective of the Son, is to walk in the Spirit And the fruit of that will be love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. You'll be set free. Free to be holy. The fruit of the Spirit leads to no unbroken laws. Let's look at the scripture here again. We're particularly focusing here on verse 23. We've looked at all of the different traits, but I want to focus on this little phrase here in verse 23. Against such, there is no law. There's no law. What's Paul trying to state here? Well, very simply is, we know the Ten Commandments. We know what God has said in the Ten Commandments. I shall have no other gods before me. Shall not make unto thee any graven image, not take God's name in vain, and on the list goes. So at any point at any of God's laws that he had laid out in the Ten Commandments, universal in all men, to break any of those laws is to be a lawbreaker, correct? Love. If you love, what law have you broken? You haven't broken a law. There's no law against love. Joy. Are you joyful? There's no law against joy. Peace. If you've got peace, well, there's no law against having peace. The apostle is saying here, there's no law against these. Everything that you have read, that's the fruit of the Spirit. If God is reproducing this in your life, it far exceeds anything that you could possibly do of trying to keep the Old Testament law. You understand that? Because you can't keep the Old Testament law, because we are consistently breaking the Old Testament law. But if we'll walk in the Spirit, we'll have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And against there's no laws against those. If you'll ask the Lord to fill you with the love of Christ, well, man, you won't be breaking any laws. If you're filled with the love of Christ, if you have joy in your heart and you're expressing that joy to the world around you, why, there's absolutely no law against that. It's very simple, isn't it? So we love those he loves. And it says against such. Do you notice that? Why, we haven't even exhausted. You think this is an exhaustive list of the personal character traits of the Lord Jesus Christ? Of the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such. Implying is, why, there's even more than this. You and I can go into the Scriptures and we can read all through the Gospels and we can read about the Lord Jesus Christ. You may discover in the Gospels that there's even a broader list. How about compassion? How about zeal? How about selflessness? So he says, and the such like. The Holy Spirit is working on the whole person, not just in these areas, but in every way in which you can examine the Lord Jesus Christ, The Holy Spirit is working in us to reproduce Him. My tendencies, the old nature, how I naturally respond to things around me. The Holy Spirit is working in me so that my natural reaction to things is not the way I would have responded and not the natural way in which the world responds to the same type of circumstance. See, that's what set the Lord Jesus Christ apart. He didn't respond. He didn't react in every circumstance the way everybody else around him would naturally react. So when all the world is going crazy and filled with bitterness and anger and hatred and malice, you are filled with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance and a whole bunch more, as God is reproducing the Lord Jesus Christ in us. But we continue, because this isn't of ourselves. Remember, we come back to that 16th verse that we've been repeating over and over again. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit, we've looked at each one. And we recognize that if we'll live in this, we don't need to even think about trying to fulfill the Old Testament law. If we'll submit, walk in the Spirit, and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be reproduced in us, and how will He be reproduced in us? He will be reproduced in us in the exact same way in which all of this was reproduced in Him. And it was constantly by being under attack. How did the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, how did the joy and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, how did all of that come out and come on display? It came on display by all of these people hating Him and accusing Him and abusing Him. When I became a Christian, I wasn't signing up for that. But that's what we sign up for. When the Lord brought us to the end of ourselves to see that our sin damned us for eternity, and we bowed our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, then God's work was going to be an eternal work. And there wasn't any turning back. And the Lord is going to bring things into our lives that would push us to our limits. And out of that brokenness, out of that struggle, out of that persecution, out of that tribulation, the fruit of the Spirit, the reproduction of the Lord Jesus Christ begins to show itself. But if we do not walk in the Spirit, and we walk in the flesh, how many churches do you know that have had struggles within? And they cease to reproduce. They no longer look like the Lord Jesus. They look like a bunch of children in the house arguing and complaining. But we have to go further in this. Look at verse 24. I'm going to read just a part of it and I want to stop. And they that are Christ's. Let's stop there. If we recognize very clearly what the Scripture is saying, but the fruit of the Spirit, the but is in contrast to all of the works of the flesh that are listed there in chapter 5 that comes before this. The lust of the flesh, we don't want that. We still see it in us. And every once in a while, some of that filth, that old filth of the old man comes out. But that's not what I want in my life. And I don't want it in my life because of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because I don't want just to have a bad name about me. Then that's about pride. But I do not want to harm the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with this outflow of my old nature. But we recognize the long list of things that are part of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit, and we understand what fruit is. It is the reproduction of a life, fruit of the Spirit. But in that phrase that we have read in verse 24 takes us from the fruit to the root. Read it again. And they that are Christ's. You cannot produce this fruit unless you have the root. And they that are Christ's. So you can question yourself. If I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if I have the root of His life in me, if I have been born again, when Jesus spoke about being born again, He spoke about this new birth, this life that would come. It is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are, can I say, impregnated with the life of God at our birth. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. We're still the old me. We're still of my old man still there. But there's a new man inside of me and a new life inside of me. But I cannot produce the fruit unless I have the root. And the root is, and they that are Christ's. That describes possession. Correct? Doesn't say they that have Christ as though you are in possession of Him. It says, and they that are Christ's, you are possessed by Him. If He owns you, it's the only way that you can produce the fruit. Fruit and root must go together. The fruit of the Spirit provides, can we say, the evidence. So, in the power of the Holy Spirit, God gives us this glorious liberty to bear this fruit in our lives. But we can only bear that fruit and only bear that fruit because we are Christ's. We belong to the Lord. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price, as the Scripture says. So we belong to Him. As being bought by Him, God has commanded us to walk in the Spirit. It's not a mere recommendation. It's not a suggestion. It is as clear a command as Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 that says to us, but be filled with the Spirit. To be absolutely under His control. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in our day needs revival. And we recognize it. We talk about it. We pray about it. We sing about it. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled. With fire from where? Above. It's the above life that the church is not displaying. And my fear is that they can't display it because they don't possess it. You can't have that fruit unless you have the root. And the only way you have the root is to have been truly born again. Hold your place here in Galatians and turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Familiar verses to us in verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 reads what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Paul's asking that question. He says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong. And they that are Christ's. Look at now we come back to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. Let's continue the sentence. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Again, we know that in all the rest of the record of the Scriptures, the churches are being counseled by Paul, by Peter, by John. In those epistles that we read in the New Testament, there is counsel coming for us as believers. He's writing to individual churches. He's writing to the individuals within those individual churches, just as he does, as he wrote there to the book of, in 1 Corinthians. He's writing to that church. It extends to us that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And we're to glorify God. We want to produce this fruit in our lives, but we can only produce it if we have the root. If we're rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we already have. Can I say it to you this way? Clearly, you and I are not crucified. But in the spiritual way, you and I have submitted to and acknowledged that Jesus Christ hung on that cross in our place, correct? We believe His death on that cross, Him taking our place, was our death. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Having laid out that God by His grace has superabounded to forgive us of our sins, He asked in verse 1 of Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So, when Paul says this in Galatians chapter 5, and that you and I are in Christ, we belong to him, and that we have crucified, we have accepted that reality for us. We've accepted his death on Calvary's cross was my death. Death to sin, death to myself, death to wanting to be in charge of my own life. And I could not be saved, and God, he only regenerates those that he brings to that repentance, to bow the knee to King Jesus. Because, as he says here, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust, we have committed ourselves to the continually be bringing this old body, this old nature, these old lusts back to the cross. And so there in Romans chapter 6, he draws that conclusion in saying, likewise, therefore, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We not only recognize that we have crucified those things, we also recognize we're risen. Because in Colossians he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So now let's just kind of gather all the little ends here together for our thinking. For the book of Galatians, are you saved by the works of the law? No. Are you saved by the grace of God? Yes. If you're saved by the grace of God, do I need to go back to the works of the law in order to maintain favor with God? No. The reality of it is, having been born again, having the root implanted in me, my desire is to live for Christ and for the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I want my life to be reproduced to looking like Christ. I want people that get around me to say, he's been with Jesus. I want them to take knowledge of me. And the way that that happens is the Lord putting me and putting you in places that would press us. So that the juice coming out of the fruit is bringing glory to God. That's why Paul wrote there to those early churches and said that we through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God, the fruit of the Spirit. Now look, we finally, just a final thought here out of verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that word walk there means to walk in a straight line. If we live in the Spirit, and we do, meaning since we live in the Spirit, so He has freed us, as verse 16 says it in a general way, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When he says it here in verse 25, he has, by the context, as we'll see as we continue this study, walking in a straight line with you. Something in the word that says, how can two walk together except they what? Be agreed. So you and I, come on, you can take my arm and we'll walk in a straight line, right? I'll kind of help nudge you along if you're starting to try to pull off some other direction. Come on now, let's walk in a straight line. And if you see me starting to veer, get out of line, you can say, come on, Pastor, no, let's walk in a straight line here. That's what my wife would say, that's her gift. So we encourage one another by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, for Jesus to be reproduced in us, and God helping each of us to encourage the other to walk in a straight line in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is that what God has put in your heart? Out of the root, do you have the fruit? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. It cannot be broken. It is truth. Lord Jesus, I've preached against myself this morning. I'm the one who needs this passage. I confess my own need of you. And I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit. I know that you birthed me. I didn't birth myself. And I belong to you. I didn't give myself to you. You gave yourself to me. And you bought me and you pursued me. As the scripture says, and you hath he quickened. You quickened. You did the work. You drew me. You opened my heart. And you've continued to do so. So Lord, by whatever means you choose to work in all of our lives, what struggles we will face, I ask you in Jesus' name, that our fruit might be that of the Spirit, of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith and meekness and temperance. Lord, work in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 386. 386. would be the right hymn for us to sing here. If the Lord's dealt with your heart, I encourage you to find some place sometime today just to get alone with God. Lord, do I have the root? Do I have the fruit? Do I see God working in me? Hymn number 386. We're just going to sing the first verse as we close. After the service, I'll be glad to talk to you. Anyone, you've got something you need to talk about, we're glad to point you to the scriptures and give you counsel. Join me standing together as we sing this simple first verse of All for Jesus, number 386. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransomed powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours.